great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players, as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we are talking to PRS Guitars with the man himself, Paul Reed Smith. And in studio, representing PRS Guitars, we have Alex Grossi from Quiet Right and Hotel Diablo. We'll also be demonstrating the new PRS Archon. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio. And now here are your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. Sorry, Scott, I hit the wrong button again, but we got you in there at the last minute. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing good. I just shot a demo on the Earthquaker Devices Arpanoid pedal, which I was so very tempted when I was doing that to say Arpanoid like Arnold Schwarzenegger and say,
Arpanoid.
Get down, it's the Arpanoid. But no. So yeah, I did a demo on that, and actually I was very proud of myself. When you watch it, you'll see the little vocal intro that I talk about it. And I was able to spit out the first polyphonic arpeggiator guitar effects pedal or something like that. It was very crazy amount of like syllables. It was not easy for me to say, but I was able to do it, so I was very happy.
So did you, you have a lot of fun playing with it? What did you think of in terms of, I mean, you must have gone in it. You went in depth on it, so now you, because that's a kind of a strange pedal. I was playing with it, and it does some all sorts of weird stuff.
Yeah, I mean, actually, what I did is, I just did a quick little sample of something semi-creative with it, and then I went through all of the eight modes, so you could hear exactly what each eight modes do, and then it's up to the person that, you know, goes and buys that pedal to come up with something really creative with it. But, you know, I love doing the harmonics on it. It really sounds cool when you do that and have a little Bigsby and you just drop it down.
I remember we were doing the show. We had that one where it arpeggiates up and down, and it was kind of cool. It was doing some interesting stuff with that.
Yeah, so. Very cool. Also, for our listeners, just want to mention that in 2 weeks we have a Sennheiser mics on, and we actually have a giveaway for them. So I just posted up on our website, flowguitarenthusiast.com. There is a giveaway for Sennheiser E835. So go ahead and sign up for that. All you got to do is leave a comment there and like our Facebook page, and that will get you registered to win that mic, which we'll give away on that show in 2 weeks.
Yes, and actually tonight we will be talking about it later when Sennheiser is on our show, but we have a Sennheiser that we're using tonight.
Yes, yep. So we are using that live in studio. And then we have Alex here, who's in studio with his PRS guitar and the new Archon amp, which is going to be very cool. We'll do that live.
And we just before the show, we had I finally brought my Martin in that had been sitting for 3 months on the Guitar Hummer, and we actually did a demo of that playing it now. So you'll be hearing soon. When we first brought the guitar, it was literally brand new, and then having it on the Guitar Hunter for 3 months, for me, I noticed it mellowed out and it had a nice mellow sound. But you can be the judge. I tried to play exactly what I was playing before, and we'll see how it sounds, if there's a difference in the sound. But it was kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. So that video will come up probably in the next week, I would say. I'll be able to get that put together. I've got to do the Arpanoid, finish that up, and finish up one more from NAMM, which is the LSL guitars.
Okay.
Why don't we take a quick break and hear a spot from Sweetwater, and then we'll come back and we'll speak with Alex.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Aaron Raby, your resident guitars and amps geek at Sweetwater Sound. 1-800-222-4700 or catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. Sweetwater is proud to partner with The Flow in bringing you the latest and greatest in all guitar-related things, be it tone, be it artists and musicians, their secrets on their tone, amplification, and live performance. We at Sweetwater are just as passionate as the folks on The Flow in bringing you what we consider to be the best in pro audio equipment and guitar and PA gear. Give us a call and we'll discuss gear whenever you like. Our number here is 800-222-4700. And again, you can catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. I'm Aaron Raby, and thanks again for listening.
All right, everyone, you are listening to Jeff and Scott on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, and I'm Paul Reed Smith from PRS Guitars, and that's kind of what's going on. Enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, in studio we have Alex Grossi, who is the guitar player for Quiet Riot, Hotel Diablo, and many other bands like Hookers and Blow and all kinds of fun little bands.
You know, Hookers and Blow is not really a band, but we'll talk about that later. thank you for having me.
Yeah, so since you're here, well, let's talking about PRS guitars. But first, let's just give people a little bit of a background on your history on how you got into guitar and, you know, maybe even what brought you to PRS guitars.
Well, you know, I started playing guitar when I was 14 years old, and I worked in a music store back in Connecticut where I'm from, and, you know, I played in local bands there. I was in a band when I was 15 or 16 with a bunch of older guys playing covers, and we, you know, we did the New England music scene circuit, if you will, and when as we were talking in the lobby, when I was 16 years old, I saved up all my money, and I wanted to buy a Eddie Van Halen Ernie Ball guitar.
Right.
Okay. And I went to the music store with $1,500 and the guy there said, he goes, you know, if you have that much money, you should get a PRS. And I go, well, what's a PRS? I had no clue. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to plug you into a 50-watt Marshall. You're going to play a Van Halen guitar and a Paul Reed Smith. And if at the end of that little session you're going to have by yourself, you still want the Van Halen guitar, I'll give you a discount on it. But if not, I'll give you the PRS for $1,500. And I went in the room and I plugged in a CE bolt-on. Mm-hmm. It was a mid-90s model. And I literally fell in love with it right then and there. And I've never played anything else.
Wow.
Like, I bought that guitar. Mm-hmm. Like, I saved up all my money, bought it, and walked out of the music store that day with that guitar. And then since then, every record I've done, everything I've musically, professionally have done, has, you know, they've been involved with it, which has been great, you know.
So what is it about the PRS guitars that sets itself apart over other brands? Like, what is it that draws you to it?
Consistency. The fact that you can walk into any music store, pull one off the wall, and they're all good. They're not factory, I mean, they're factory made, obviously, everything's made in a factory, but they're not cookie cutter in that. You know, you'll have certain companies, without saying their names, they'll give their rock star artist the cream of the crop ones, and the ones they sell to kids off the rack are crap.
Right.
You know, Paul Reed Smith, the quality control is amazing. You know, they're very consistent. You can go to Omaha, Nebraska, get off your tour bus, go to Guitar Center. If they lose your luggage, pull it off the rack, you get the same one you have in your gig bag that they sent you, you know. Which is as a touring artist is huge. So as a consumer who's buying them, you know, literally off the rack, you're getting the same guitar that the quote rock stars are getting.
Right.
You know.
Now, what model of PRS do you use mostly, and does it give you everything from like a single coil pickup to humbucker?
My main guitar has always been a custom 24 with a wide fat neck. It's got a five-way selector, so you get it's a standard five-way like you get on any Jackson or Charvel or Ibanez, but it goes, you know, humbucker to the split coil singles outside, then the two middles, then the inside, then the neck. So you get all that. And, I mean, just to give you an example of how versatile that guitar is, the guitar behind me right here, I just, the new Quiet Riot album that's coming out in I'm going to say March or April, maybe May, I don't know.
Right.
I did the entire album with one custom 24. Cleans, rhythms, leads, everything. One guitar.
Wow. Now, did you do any acoustic? Do you use any of the PRS acoustics?
I played the Angelus, the SC. I'm the bands I'm in, it's more hard rock, obviously, but I played the Angelus, and for $700, whatever that thing costs, it's amazing. The Angelus SC, I believe it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's they're great, and they're higher end ones. Oh my God, they're amazing.
Yeah, my my father actually has a I think it's a Grand Tonnerre or something like that.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
the one with the Celtic.
Those are really, those are really good. Yeah.
It's kind of a dream to go play that guitar.
Yeah,
so
it's that's a whole different level of acoustic. I mean, dude, like you know.
Well, you got to have that for the power ballads.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, there's nothing wrong with breaking out the acoustic at 3 o'clock in the morning, half naked in bed, you know. But I don't even deserve to play one of those. You know, I'm more of a, you know, custom 24 guy.
Well, since you got your guitar here, let's just go ahead and break that sucker out because we've got the Archon amp.
Yeah, we got the Archon. Yeah, we just picked up the Archon this evening. I played the prototype at the Paul Reed Smith Experience back in September. And it was amazing. And now we've got the final version of it here. So why don't we hear how it sounds?
Let's hear how it sounds. And this is the new high gain amp from them.
Yeah. Well, it's a two channel high gain.
Right.
While he's talking, he's using a Scott. What speaker is in that cabinet?
It's the Celestion V Type in that.
V Type.
Yeah. So that's the new one of the newer speakers from Celestion.
Okay. Here we go.
That's just plugged in old school. Didn't even turn it up.
And he has it switched to so you know he's using 51.
What I was saying before, too, when we were talking about the Custom 24, when I'm on the road a lot, this five-way gives me so many different tones. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I can start with just a humbucker right here. When I'm all the way down here, I'm just straight up. Go one little bump that way. I mean, I'm not touching one knob on the amp.
Right.
I'm going straight in.
But so when go through the switches and what is it actually doing?
Well, here all the way down is the neck is the bridge. If I roll the gain back and go one switch. Fourth position. Middle position would be this. Fourth position is just the outside coils. I can clean the tone up and just with between the volume knob and the amp response.
That's really clean.
I mean, you can literally go full on clean. Just in between the guitar and the amp, which is amazing. I mean, you don't need any pedals to do that. You know, that's where I think they've really nailed it. And with this particular Archon amp, it's that even the high gain channel can be manipulated to. Because when you fly into a gig, you get off the airplane, you have 30 minutes for sound check, go to the hotel, shower, put on your stage clothes, you know. Blow dry your hair. I'm being honest right now, okay? I know if I've got a Paul Reed Smith with me, even without their amps, just their guitar alone, it's so versatile and so reliable in that I can do the. You can go you know, back and forth between those two things.
Now, how do the Paul Reed Smiths handle going from doing an outdoor gig where the temperature drops?
They are unlike a lot. I mean, I don't want to say anything bad about Gibson or Fender, but they're very durable. When you fly, temperature changes, obviously, and altitude will affect the wood, and the necks will warp. But with PRSs, they bounce back. I mean, everything. I mean, human beings warp. You know, we warp. We get off the airplane. We're not feeling
that's
too good.
True.
No, they bounce back really well. And even if you have to little, just turn the neck a little bit, you can get it right back.
What's that neck? Is that a mahogany neck or is that maple?
This is all mahogany. It's the whole guitar is mahogany with a rosewood fretboard. And the bird inlays, I believe, are mother of pearl. I'm not quite sure. Actually, abalone and mother of pearl. There's an outline on there. It's very it's a very basic old school guitar setup.
Scott's shooting it. We'll be posting the video. This guitar, the paint job on this is great. It's black and white stripes.
Well, I did this for my late singer Kevin Dubrow. Mm-hmm. I've been the guitar player in Quiet Riot for 10 years now, and he passed away in 2007. And his trademark mic stand was black and white striped. When we reformed, I talked to Frankie, the drummer, about kind of incorporating his trademark back without... Obviously, our new singer can't do that. So we had this made for him. And if you read the back of the headstock, you'll see it says, "Rest in peace, Kevin."
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. It does.
Flip
it over. Let him try to grab that, if he can grab that.
Yeah. And he loved these guitars. He had never really he had not been familiar with PRS guitars. He was Randy Rhoads' lead singer. So Randy had the polka dot Jackson Charvel, and he goes, "What kind of guitar you got there?" I go, "It's a Paul Reed Smith." He goes, "Oh, sounds good." And then when he passed, you know, I have a Silver Spark one I played on stage with him that he loved a lot, and I thought this would be a great tribute to him to do this.
Oh, that is. I'm going to try to. Let me grab that. Oh, this is cool. That's great. Yeah. I wanted to mention one thing, and I wanted to ask you this question, since you've had probably Smith's pretty much all your life.
20. Yeah. Yeah.
A friend of mine commented. I told him that we were doing the show. And he has one of the early Paul Reed Smiths.
What, you say 80s or 90s or
80s?
Okay,
it was very early. He was the first guy that told me about these guitars, and in fact, he made that cabinet. His name's Henry.
It sounds great. Thank you. Sounds great, buddy.
Anyway, he was at NAMM, and one of the things he did tell me when I mentioned the show, he said, "You know, it was interesting," and he wanted me to mention this anyway, was the fact that he. When he was trying the new guitars, he said they play this almost the same, exactly the feel, the neck.
It's uncanny.
And you've experienced that yourself.
The quality control is amazing. I mean, I don't want to say anything bad, but if you look at a Gibson off the rack from even 90s Gibsons, it started, the quality control would go downhill. With Paul Reed Smith, I mean, I've seen them literally off the rack from 80s, 90s, 2000s, and I don't even... What are we calling this decade now? Where are we at?
The tween decade? I don't know.
I don't know. the zero zeros or the aughts? I don't know. Anyways, they have not changed. I mean, this guitar right here is a 2013, okay? Mm-hmm. And I had them pull it off the rack and paint it black and white. It's the same guitar that would have been sold to a kid at Guitar Center in Omaha, Nebraska, okay? This is nothing... I mean, other than the paint job, there's nothing different. And it's the same quality.
Yeah.
You can't say that for any other company.
No. The ones I've played have always been just great.
No, I mean, here, check it out.
This is pretty nice.
Yeah. Go for it. Get in there. Here.
Well, turn up the volume, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, come on, man. There you go. Yeah, get in there.
Full game.
No, no,
I'm not all the way up. Here's all the way up.
No, here. Here.
Just roll this back here. All it does is look. Now go clean.
So Alex just went in and tweaked the knob on the guitar to clean it up.
See, I didn't touch a knob on the amp. I just did all that with the guitar. Yeah.
This thing's great. I mean, I'm getting like great.
It's all here. See what I'm saying? When I say throw and go, I mean literally. I get off the plane. You plug in. You gotta go play. My tech can't dial in the amp. I'm lucky if my pedal board gets checked off the aircraft. That all comes from the guitar.
You don't need a lot of pedal board.
No.
Now I'm going to ask you to try something.
Yes.
Everybody knows Clapton calls the woman tone. Let me see you do something like that where you're backing off a little bit. Does that roll the highs off?
You can go the on a custom 24. To get that kind of tone, I go. I'll roll the tone down and go all the way back here to the neck.
Okay,
where it's just the neck humbucker for that kind of tone. Yeah. It's all about the tone at that point, you know.
It's really.
I would go all the way to this, the neck pickup.
You're getting the sound. I mean, it's really nice.
And it's again, it's all in the guitar. And it's the custom 24. I mean, they have a model called the 513, which I've played. I don't own one, but I played it. That's even got more. I mean, you could make. When I said I made the Quiet Riot album with one guitar, you could make a box set with that thing. I mean, it's literally like it's got a push pull. Mm-hmm. So you got it's got a middle single coil.
Oh.
So you got two humbuckers and the middle single coil. I mean, it's almost too much. I mean, for what I do, this is more than enough.
Now,
I mean,
do you play the ones with the Floyd now? Because they came out with the Floyd, or do you need it?
I'm not a Floyd guy. I've used to have an Ibanez guitar way before I got a PRS with a Floyd Rose, and I don't find it necessary in this day and age to have a Floyd. I have played the new. They have a custom 22 and a custom 24 with a Floyd Rose. And I will say this, they're hard to keep in tune, okay? But with the PRS, these locking tuners, if you couple that with what they're doing with the locking nut now, with the Floyd, it's as close to getting to that point where you've got the best qualities of like a Les Paul, Paul Reed Smith, and the Floyd Rose locking.
Because one of the things that, on Henry's guitar, his early one, and he had that type of system with, I think that's a that's a graphite nut.
It's not graphite. It's whatever their material is.
Because one of the things about his, and he had that type of treble.
Well, this is their patented
one. It stayed in tune.
No, this thing. I mean, I can literally look. You can do all the, you know. Now listen. It's still in tune.
Yeah.
You can't do that on a, you know.
No, that's one thing that I did know, that I did know. But it did stay in tune, and that's amazing. I mean, many strats have we gone through? And it's
tough. I mean, you have to have four of them on stage. You have to pull one off and tune it, I mean, a lot of it's this too, the way these lock. So mm-hmm. You look at these tuners. You literally put the string through.
Now, are these made by, are these the Spurzels, or are they the...
No, everything's made in-house.
Okay, including the pickups.
Yes. This entire guitar was made in Maryland. Every pickup, every tuner, even the knobs. Wow. Even their knobs. Yeah, it's all made in Maryland. That's what I love about it. You can go to the factory and pick everything off the wall, and it's all...
These tuning keys are just... they're incredible.
I know.
That's stable, too. And they're open. They're open
back.
Yeah,
they're open back. Old school, yeah. I mean, I have a Les Paul that I use. I actually have it in my bedroom. I play it in bed. It's my bedroom guitar. And I actually put Paul Reed Smith tuners on it.
Oh, okay.
Because they're better than the stock, even better than Grover's. You know, the Grover tuners, the closed back ones, these new ones, look at them. I there's a certain ratio that if Paul were to call in right now. Hey, Paul,
I think he's trying right
okay,
now.
Okay, good. He could explain the ratio, but there's a certain ratio to where, like, one turn for them is a certain. Mm-hmm. It's different. I'm not really a total gearhead. I'm more of just a guitar player. But yeah, no, they're very. You barely tune it. I mean, it's just right there, you know.
It's just amazing. I mean, you can't see this on the radio, but basically, he's hitting that whammy bar pretty hard, and he went all the way down and all the way up, and. It's still there.
Yeah.
That's rough on a guitar without you. That's the whole.
No,
idea why
I mean, you know, your instruments, you know, your way of expressing yourself. And when you go on tour, you go on the road, you play, they get beat up. You know.
Now those are the stock pickups, or is there any other type of picker? Is that pretty much the
this?
Standard?
Okay, the Custom 24s come standard with their HFS and their Vintage Bass, which is mm-hmm. their kind of their hallmark of their initial humbucker pickups. These are the new HFS and new Vintage Bass, and these are off the line. I mean, I have not changed anything out, and all the best sounding PRSs I've had have always been stock pickups. I've actually tried to swap out pickups in the studio. Like mm-hmm. I put some Duncans in a Custom 22 they sent me a couple years ago. Their pickups are really tuned in to the way their wood's set up, so it's mm-hmm. it's kind of mm-hmm. they have it dialed in. I mean, this is all stock.
The guitars that you play when you're playing with Quiet Ride or some of the other groups, are you using the, because they make one with the P90 type, the single coil, do you use those too?
Yes, I have an S1 they sent me, which is a killer guitar. It's like retail for $600 or $700, and that's got one single P90 and one single knob. You know what I'm talking about, the S1?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
that particular guitar, I mean, it sounds amazing. I did a lot of slide overdubs with it on the last QR and that's just, you know, just very basic. I mean, it's P90s have that certain honk to them. And whatever Paul's stock P90s are, they're right up there with the
now, buttons. Is that just a mahogany body, or do you have a maple top on it? Or?
No, it's just mahogany.
Okay.
Actually, I have one of those, and they have a Carina model.
Oh, wow.
The S1 Carina, yeah.
Interesting.
It's got a clear finish, and it's got a different timbre. It's still like, it's basically a Les Paul Junior, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, that's kind of where they were going with it. But it, one knob, one pickup,
just back to basics
and an alibi.
So have you toured the factory over at PRS? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was funny when I first got my first Paul Reed Smith guitar. You know, obviously I was really enamored with it, and I moved to Boston after I finished high school, and my band got a record deal. And the first thing I did when I got a record deal, I wrote a hard copy letter mm-hmm. to their artist relations rep, and I said, you know, my band just got signed. I want to, and they had me come into the factory, and they basically gave me an artist deal cost. So I got to tour the factory with them, And yeah, they were back then. This was like the late 90s, mm-hmm. and they were still smaller. And then as time went on, they got, you know, I mean, Santana,
yeah.
obviously, Matchbox 20, all those huge bands began using them, and obviously, you know, they expanded. And then they went to the Korean thing, where they were doing the U.S. models and the Korean. So, yeah, I've been to both versions of the factory. I've been there when it was back. I mean, it used to be in Annapolis, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're Stevensville, and they have, like, a whole compound, you know.
Now, I also saw a picture of you. I think Scott posted it that you're using an acoustic one with F-holes.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's not acoustic. It's more like their 335 version. It was a McCarty.
Oh, okay.
It's a McCarty. What it is, it's the same size body as this, but it's spruce top. And it's F-holes, and it's got an acoustic pickup.
So it's got a block of wood down the center.
It's like a miniature 335. What it is it's got a solid piece of mahogany, but it's a spruce top. And then it's got two outputs. So I can go to a full-blown Marshall and then go straight to the PA.
Oh, wow.
And do acoustic at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So does it get a good acoustic sound, or is it...
It sounds like if you take a hummingbird and put the piezo pickup in it, but it's even more accurate. It's got more of a balance, mm-hmm. and you can blend the two.
Well, that second output, is there a piezo on it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So basically what I'm doing is I got two of these. What I'm doing is I should have brought that one, actually. I got one that goes straight to the big amp, big mm-hmm. dirty amp, and then I got one that goes straight to like a direct box,
mm-hmm.
and I can blend the two.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah,
and the sound, the electric sound that you're using there, it's like a traditional, like a 335 sound.
It's if I actually wanted to hot rod it, I could probably go put the HFS in there, which is what I have in here. But for that particular guitar, it's more of a studio thing because. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very light spruce, so you know it's not really a stage guitar.
So you don't use that much as live. You don't use.
I've done a couple of records with it. I actually did this VH1 thing with Janie Lane, who passed away a couple of years ago, singer from Warrant. Mm-hmm. We did a couple songs acoustic, and I blended the acoustic and mm-hmm. the acoustic and electric with him, and it had a good direct tone, but I've never really gone on the road with it. No.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice guitar. That picture that
you posted. It's a pretty guitar. Yeah,
beautiful.
Well, why don't we take a quick little break and then we come back and then we'll go right through this entire Archon amp and we'll just hear all the different sounds and tweak the knobs and see what we get.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Aaron Raby, your resident guitars and amps geek at Sweetwater Sound. 1-800-222-4700 or catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. Sweetwater is proud to partner with The Flow in bringing you the latest and greatest in all guitar-related things, be it tone, be it artists and musicians, their secrets on their tone, amplification, and live performance. We at Sweetwater are just as passionate as the folks on The Flow in bringing you what we consider to be the best in pro audio equipment and guitar and PA gear. Give us a call and we'll discuss gear whenever you like. The number here is 800-222-4700. And again, you can catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. I'm Aaron Raby, and thanks again for listening.
Hi, I'm Richard Kotze from the Winery Dogs, and you are listening to The Flow Guitar Enthusiast.
Rock and roll!
We're back. That's
that Mike, was Mike Matthews. Matthews. Gotta love Mike Matthews. From Electroharmonics. Alex, so let's go through this Archon amp. So the Archon amp, just for everybody, while he's going to get his guitar, get set up and everything, The Archon amp is 100-watt, 50-watt amp.
Yep.
Has 4 6L6 power tubes, 6 12A7 preamp tubes, I think, has two channels, lead and clean, and then we're using a V-type speaker, as we mentioned, from Celestion. And then, you know, this is their high gain amp that they just came out with and announced it an amp.
And when he was playing before and he was going from dirty to clean, he wasn't switching.
I wasn't switching channels. That was the main thing.
He was using his guitar. So now we're going to switch channels, and we're going to hear what that does.
Well, here's... the full gain channel right there. Let's back it up and go to the clean. Let me take these headphones off. So.
Okay.
We'd start here. That's full blown clean right there. I mean, it's very user friendly in that it's just got the basic low mid high for the clean channel.
Can you show us the wide variety of, like, you know, what the EQ will do on that?
I mean, here, I always like to start everything at 12 o'clock. So let's hear what we're at here. And I think a big thing, too, with the tube response is so great in that. Here's my bridge pickup straight up. Now we just back it up a little bit. That's everything at about noon right there. So, and that's with the brake switch on. Here's with the brake switch off. Channel everything at noon right there on the 50 watt setting. I really like the fact that when it goes high gain, you can still clean up the high gain channel, which is when you're playing live, I like to be able to still, you know, do the Van Halen thing where you just go here. So here I am. So I can go from. Still clean it up.
So for the most part, when you're playing live, you're doing all of it from your guitar switching.
A lot of times, too, and look, unless you're doing a huge arena tour with your tech switching everything for you, a lot of it needs to be hands-on. And what you can do with an amp like this, with the tubes responding the way they are, is you can do it from here. So, like, all I'm doing is backing up the game. Like, look.
So you can do it either way, but that is amazing.
Yeah.
Most amps don't clean up.
No, they don't. They don't clean up like that. No, you take a JCM 800, they're very touchy. With it's a combination of the two things. I mean, like I said, when you do the five-way switcher, having the single coil pickups respond the way they do, you can get that. And a lot of amps don't do that. I mean, different players do different things, so I'm not saying there's a right or a wrong way. I'm saying for what I do, I notice I can get that.
And it's interesting because when you're playing live and you're running around and you're pretty active, it's nice to be able to do it from the guitar.
If you can have it all self-contained, again. I mean, I remember going to see Metallica when I was a kid, okay? On the Enter Sandman. What was the album with Enter Sandman? It was the Black Album. The Black Album. Okay, now they had their tech switching everything for them, okay?
Oh, wow.
Kirk Hammett was out there. He'd go... And then all of a sudden... It would go from... And I'm like, well, that's great, but what if we don't have a tech to do that for us? What if we need to actually... you know, cultivate that sound on their own, you know, and having a guitar that can do that, it's great to be able to control it. I mean, it's a confidence thing too. You perform better knowing you can get that just from rolling the volume. I mean, you know.
Let me ask you mm-hmm. to get a sound for me. So, like a bluesy sound where you pull back a little bit from the amp, where you're just getting a little bit of bloom from the distortion.
Single coil or humbucker?
Humbucker. Let's try humbucker.
I'm gonna say a good starting point with a custom 24 is the middle position.
Okay.
This guy right here. And you just roll it off a little bit. If you want to go a little deeper, you go to the neck pickup. But you can still get it to break up without going all
Yeah, I know. When he was changing around, he was playing with the volume knob. You can't see it on the radio, but he's basically fooling around with it.
Yeah.
That's how when he started dialing in the distortion, he was just pulling it up
a little bit.
You
know what a big thing, too, is, which a lot of guitar players don't realize, is your pickup height. I keep your neck almost all the way touching the strings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the bridge should be a little deeper to get that depth. You know, like in the neck pickup, the neck pickup should be a little deeper, like more sunk in.
Mm-hmm. So you have it farther away.
Yeah,
which is a little cleaner.
The air between the neck pickup. That little space makes a big difference. And when you're on the road, you can only control so much. So a lot of guys will put so much emphasis on, you know, their back line and this and that. It all starts with the strings and the pickup height and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And with, you know, that's a big thing. Like when I first get a guitar out of the box, I always make sure this is almost all the way up and this is halfway down. Because that's where a lot of the tone comes from, is that space between the strings mm-hmm. and the mm-hmm. pickups. It's always so overlooked, you know.
Oh yeah.
Now on that guitar, it's not a Floyd Rose, but how far can you dive bomb with that thing?
Yeah.
And then it'll come back in just
in
tune?
I have mine set for it to go one half step up. So I can go, you know, not a full like Floyd Rose dive bomb.
Yeah, but Hendrix went down plenty on the Strat.
Look,
it's like it's
honestly,
there.
You don't need any more than that. I mean, yeah, you know, unless you're CeCe DeVille, why would you need that? I mean, and CeCe DeVille's awesome. I love him. But.
And that thing just comes back in tune just fine.
Wow.
Hold on.
And he was really going to town.
And I also use 11s. I use 10 to 52, so I use a thicker E string, which makes a big difference too.
The radius of that, is that more similar to a Les Paul, a Gibson, or is that more like
neck?
A Fender? Yeah, the neck.
Not
the radius. I mean the scale. Does it feel more like a Les Paul, or does it feel more like?
No, it's well. This is a 24.
Okay.
The 24 fret has the longer radius. Honestly, I don't know. I know it's the 22 fret version is more like a Les Paul. This is a slightly longer. I'm gonna say. I mean, it feels more like a Fender, as far as
because I know that the length is
the scale length. Yeah,
the scale length determines also too. Like for example, on my Fenders I use 9s, and on my Gibsons I use 10s, and they feel similar.
Mm.
Because of the scale difference.
Well, when you have the longer neck guitar, the thicker the string, you can get a little more, you know. I know what you're saying, yeah. I mean, I've always used the 10 to 52, and when I put them on a shorter length guitar, a shorter scale length guitar, it does tighten up a bit. On the custom 24, there's a little more give
mm-hmm.
in that, so.
Now, let me ask you... With the gain up, I'm a big fan of harmonics, like mm-hmm. you know, like Steve Stevens. He squeals,
the squeal, and squeals. Squeal
can you?
You know what? We need a little more high end, but yeah, we're about there.
But obviously. The guitar is giving that, but a lot of that too is the amp, is the overtones and the.
And it's
the
also too how you hit it. You can get it if you pick it the right way. Yeah. Yeah, you can definitely get those squealies out of there. It's rolling the high end helps a lot too. It's definitely got on the lead channel. You get that presence in there. You know what I like is it's got a really tight low end too, I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's got a very responsive like a lot of the like the I remember when I was a kid, my first real amp was a PV5150 and it had the resonance mm-hmm. control. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Now if you have a really good tube amp, the low end should come from the tubes, not, you know, so it's like it's got a really tight low end, which I like a lot.
Now what are you using on when you use the Archon, what speakers are you using?
I have not toured with an Archon yet. I'm just now getting acquainted with it. I will probably be using the PRS-412s with like
Do they make their own speakers?
Yeah, they have their own speaker cabs. Yeah.
No, but I mean, do they make what speakers are in their cabinets? Or, you know,
I'm not quite sure. But when I did play their stock 412, it sounded really good. I'm sure they're. Like whatever this is right now sounds great. It's a regular. What is it?
Celestion V type. Yeah. So this is actually just it's like a $100 speaker. It's pretty affordable.
You know, there's an old expression. It's not the clothes. It's the hanger.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the outfit. It's the hanger. And I've noticed with them, it sounds good through pretty much anything. You know.
Well, amps that you're using now, what speakers are you? Do you know what you're using on those?
For fly dates, I use all Marshall. When I fly in, it's all 75-watt Celestions or whatever. And a lot, like I said, a lot of it starts with the guitar. Like mm-hmm. I've really had to rely on doing the fly-in date, which most bands are doing nowadays. You know, I have to rely on what I can control, and my environment is this guitar. Well, I have two of these: mm-hmm. this guitar and my pedal board and whatever.
So that's why you usually don't bring your head.
No. I don't. There's a possibility of us doing a summer rolling tour, which will, you know, like a package tour will. I'll have all my stuff with me on the tour bus, but no, usually it's just a guitar. That's mm-hmm. that's why I'm so loyal to PRS, because they're adaptable.
Mm-hmm.
The Archon's such a new product. I mean, it literally just came out. I was talking to my rep this morning. He goes, you're going to like it, because I played the prototype back in September at their experience thing, and I literally picked it up and came here. So
It's not a very big head. It's smaller than a Marshall.
No, and it's hand wired inside too. Hand wired.
Yeah. Well, it's very user friendly too. I mean, we just plugged this thing in tonight.
And, yeah.
You know, you get it to them right away. You know.
Well, we're actually coming to the end of the show, and for those of you listening that were hoping to hear Paul Reed Smith, I do apologize. I've been actually kind of been quiet because I've been texting back and forth trying to get. The folks there, he apparently is under the weather, so he's not feeling too well, so that's why he's not able to call in.
We wish him that he gets better. He feels better quickly.
So do apologize for not having being able to get him on.
I think we did all right though without him.
I think
we
awesome.
Did fine.
I think this was great. We really got into the stuff and that guitar is killer.
Well,
I really like that.
Again, like I said, it's off the rack. I mean, it's not anything special. I mean, you know, it's not. When I say that, I mean, this is the same guitar that would have been sent to somewhere else.
Right. Yeah, I think the only thing special is the paint job, right?
Well, yeah.
But now maybe we can convince them to make that a standard paint job, and everybody.
Wow, wouldn't
you know? You know, my next one. I actually was at the NAMM show. I was talking to them. I want to have them. I love stars. As you can see, my tattoos. I'm going to have them make me one black with silver sparkly stars.
That'd be cool.
But
it'd
be the exact same guitar as this, but with silver stars.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, that's.
Now all your guitars are just solid mahogany. You don't use the maple tops?
No, I do. I have a couple maple tops. Actually, initially, it's a funny story. My first custom 24 that I ordered was a 10 top. You know, the maple top, mm-hmm. right? And I ordered in Bonnie. There was a woman who worked there named Bonnie Lawrence, and she had her employee guitar made, and they called it Bonnie Pink. Mm-hmm. So I ordered a Bonnie Pink one. Now, that was 1999, 1998, whatever. As time went on and styles changed, I decided, well, I don't really want a pink guitar on stage anymore. So I sent it back, and they refinished it in platinum, but they kept the maple top. Mm-hmm. It had a 10 top. Now it's fully platinum, but they kept the maple stripe. And it's got so much more weight to it and such a different tone. The maple top, even if you don't think of it for looks, the tone and what it – the just the girth that it adds to everything. So, this is mahogany, but usually – I do prefer maple. Mm-hmm. Actually, if I thought this through more, I would have had this with a maple top underneath.
Well, that's just an excuse to get another guitar with a maple
Absolutely.
Top.
Well, no.
You know
well,
us.
Well, you know what?
There's always room for another guitar.
I asked if they would do it with a maple stripe, and they said, but it would break up the paint job too much.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to ask them to do maple and then paint over, it's like sacrilege, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want to, you know.
No, I wouldn't. That guitar is perfect the way it is.
Well, before we go, so just so you guys, so you can hear more about Alex, you can go to alexgrossimusic.com is where you can find more about him. You can also check out his new album with Hotel Diablo, which their debut album is The Return to Psycho California.
Which we recorded right up the street, actually.
Yeah. At
Gilby's house. You know, Gilby?
Wow. Yeah, I've heard of, yes.
Yeah, Gilby has a studio. His house, I don't want to give it away, but yeah, we did the whole album there.
He lives in L.A. like everybody else.
No, he lives on Woodman. Yeah.
But that's Gilby Clark from Guns N' Roses produced the album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's got a killer mustache.
And those were the actual the clips that you heard when we brought Alex in. And you can check out that website on the Hotel Diablo. It's www.thehoteldiablo.com. And then there's also officialquietright.com.
Yeah, we're gonna be on the road all year.
And he's on Facebook.
That's right.
Yep.
He's on Facebook to check him out. And then, of course, prsguitars.com to learn more about the Archon amp, the new S2 guitar that they came out, which is their affordable Made in Maryland, USA guitar. Basically the same guitar you got here, except just doesn't have as pretty woods, but and a little bit different cut.
No, they're just
fantastic.
The Starla is killer. The Starla. Check that one out.
Okay.
The Starla.
Well, before we go, do you want to play us out and just give us some killer licks and do a little guitar solo for us?
Guitar solo, really?